The federal racketeering trial of three former officials in the state probation department ended last week with the convictions of all three. It wasn't a 100% victory, though, as prosecutors alleged state lawmakers were bribed with the opportunity to hand out state jobs. But jurors said prosecutors failed to prove that allegation in a trial in which no state lawmakers actually faced charges. This morning, WBUR's David Boeri looks at the case the government tried to make against one high-ranking lawmaker not on trial, the Speaker of the House, Robert DeLeo.
So why didn't the government ever put Robert DeLeo on trial in a courtroom? U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz.
And I'm going to rely on what was presented in court, because that's where cases get tried in this office, in a courtroom, and not here in front of the media.
Not appropriate to comment, said Ortiz. But others, including some former federal prosecutors in the same office, questioned why it was appropriate for prosecutors to tell jurors that DeLeo was working alongside Brian to bribe fellow legislators when they had never charged him.
It's just an extraordinary step away from normal practice and normal fairness.
That's former federal prosecutor Daniel Small, who once worked in the public corruption unit and is now with the firm of Holland and Knight.
The Department of Justice guidelines call for prosecutors to be understandably very careful in making any unnecessary public references to uncharged parties, because an uncharged party has no rights to come into court and defend themselves.
DeLeo might have thought he was out of trouble with the probation department scandal back on July 23rd of last year. That's the day his attorney, Robert Popeo, says he got a phone call capping several meetings with federal prosecutors here in Boston.
I was told by the chief of the political corruption unit when we had our final conversation that a decision had been made not to indict DeLeo.
That meant everything, says Popeo, because that was the last chance the government had to indict DeLeo.
If they didn't indict him, then the statute of limitations would expire. So they couldn't indict him.
And Popeo was quick to claim that the government did not have a case.
Either they had the evidence upon which to go forward, or they didn't. And from my perspective, it's clear that they did not.
At the key meeting, says Popeo, were lead prosecutor Fred Wyshak, the first assistant, and the head of the public corruption unit, Brian Kelly. We could not reach Kelly, who is now in private practice, and Ortiz would not answer the question. Mark Perlstein is a former acting U.S. attorney here in Boston.
It is clear that the government either believed that he was not guilty of any criminal misconduct and or that the government did not believe it could prove any violations of law beyond a reasonable doubt.
1 year later, in the trial just ended of the three probation department administrators, prosecutors wanted to show a jobs-for-vote scheme. Thanks to O'Brien, they alleged, legislators were given the opportunity to hand out jobs in return for votes to make DeLeo Speaker of the House in 2009. The prosecution had one witness, former O'Brien aide Edward Ryan. He testified that an aide to Robert DeLeo told him probation jobs were being traded for pro-DeLeo votes. That testimony by Ryan about what he was told would normally be considered hearsay. And hearsay is not admissible, except in the case where co-conspirators are furthering a conspiracy. So the government named DeLeo's aide, Leonard Mirasolo, an unindicted co-conspirator to take advantage of the exception, and thus Ryan's testimony was admitted. Here is DeLeo's attorney, Robert Popeo.
Len Mirasolo testified before the grand jury under oath with immunity. He denies that that meeting ever took place or that they ever selected representatives to give jobs to on the basis of votes.
But Mirasolo was never called as a witness at this trial. Meanwhile, prosecutors also identified DeLeo as an unindicted co-conspirator. Again, former federal prosecutor Mark Perlstein.
Their argument is that they needed to get the co-conspirator hearsay into evidence.
Otherwise, they would have had to drop their allegations of bribery. Late in the trial and after all the testimony, the prosecution now claimed DeLeo was at the center of it all, next to O'Brien, an allegation it never made in opening statements to the jury or even in the O'Brien indictment. The new theory was that DeLeo was not receiving bribes, but giving bribes by handing out jobs. Former federal prosecutor Daniel Small.
Normally, an unindicted co-conspirator is someone at a lower level. The notion that the unindicted co-conspirator is the higher level person is just an extraordinary surprise and shock here.
DeLeo is the successor to three consecutive speakers who have all been targeted by federal prosecutors. So now he was in the soup of public suspicion.
I'm calling upon whether it's the federal prosecutors or anyone else who would make such a statement to cease to make those types of statements because they're untrue.
Former federal prosecutor Mark Perlstein.
From Speaker DeLeo's point of view, it is very unfair. His reputation has been attacked, and he has no mechanism other than statements in the press to attempt to defend himself. He's got no way to intervene in the case, to present evidence, or to otherwise exonerate himself.
DeLeo had already testified under oath and without immunity before a special state court-appointed investigator, Paul Ware. He was expecting to be called to this trial.
He was ready, willing, and able to testify when called.
But the prosecution never called DeLeo to the stand. Ortiz denies criticism that her office was unfair and overzealous in making allegations at trial about the man her office had earlier decided not to prosecute, a man who happens to be the Massachusetts Speaker of the House.
When you have a conspiracy such as this and you're presenting evidence, you're not trying people in a vacuum.
For DeLeo, and many people dubbed unindicted co-conspirators in other cases, being considered the context for the crimes and not the defendants comes as no comfort. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.